You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, I have the great pleasure of chatting with Tom Shapiro, who's joining me from Massachusetts. So in this conversation that Tom and I are going to have, I want to tackle a concept that I think he and I both agree on is a big, big problem in the world of marketing. And that's that as a business hiring marketers, we are often faced with a lot of the same thing out there. And trying to figure out the difference between all of those different service providers or pieces of technology or those different options to help our business grow can be overwhelming and challenging. And often we just don't know what to do or what direction to go in. And what makes matters worse is as our world grows closer and closer, right, particularly in this COVID period that we've been through, where so many of us are online finding resources from halfway around the world, we can find people who are willing to and able to supply the same sort of services in marketing for a heck of a lot cheaper than somebody here in North America. So how does a business navigate through this world of sameness, this commoditization of all of these marketing services, and come out ahead? Well, I hope that Tom Shapiro, our guest, can help us navigate all of this. Tom, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, David. It's great being here.
So before we dive into this problem that I've just laid out, why don't you give a quick introduction to the work that you do and why this is a relevant topic for you?
Sure. So I run an agency called Stratabeat, which we focus on B2B marketing, so businesses that sell to other businesses, and it's mostly in the digital space. But I've been in the marketing space since, I'd say, 1990, so, you know, many years before even Google existed.
Yeah.
And I think the first website that I built was in 94, which was also several years before Google even existed. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to see a lot of evolution in the digital space ever since then.
Yeah.
But one thing that has really frustrated me through the years is just the number of marketers and the number of agencies that tend to hold back and they rely on best practices, or they're order takers. They rely on their clients to tell them what they want to do, right? And so, you know, what I'd love to talk with you about today is why following best practices is actually one of the worst things you can do as a marketer.
Oh, well, let's dive into it. I want to get to this thing that you just said about being an order taker first, though.
Sure.
Because I think a business will often, say, okay, I know that I need to grow. I need to generate leads. And, you know, so-and-so down the street who's in our same business, they do this, so we should do the same thing. Or my nephew told me that TikTok is really hot right now, so I guess that's what we should do. And so they'll go and hire somebody, an agency or somebody who specializes in that tactic, right?
Right.
And then they'll say, okay, tell me, you know, what I should do. And what you just described was the business, the marketing business will say, yes, sure, I'll gladly sign you up as a client. Now, what do you want me to do? And so they're pushing it right back to the business owner, it sounds like.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. So oftentimes we'll have companies that call us up and they say, oh, we need SEO, or, oh, we need a new website. Like, I'll give you a good example. So a technology company, the CEO of a technology company called us and said, I need a new website for our business. And I said, well, you know, let's take a step back before we talk about the website, because, you know, he wanted to talk about what should be on the About Us page. He wanted to talk about the product pages. He wanted to talk about the blog. I was like, look, that's all great, but let's just take a step back. And I said,
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Why do you need a new website? Tell me your vision. After the website launches, where is the business in 12 months? Where does it need to be in 12 months? And there was dead silence. And so that's a good question. I said, yes, that's the question that we need to be answering, is where does the business need to be in the future? And then we can reverse engineer how to get you there. But to start from the tactics of I need a new website, or I need SEO, or I need a blog, or I need content, or I need infographics, or whatever it is, it's just backwards. It's completely backwards to the strategic approach that businesses should be taking in order to achieve massive results. And so, you know, I think it's easier for agencies to be order takers. Someone calls up and says, I want a website. Sure. Let me get you a proposal for a website. That's very easy, right? Mm-hmm. You're not causing any friction. You're not going to have anyone upset at you. And sometimes when you do start asking probing questions, where do you need to be in the future? What are your priorities as a business, right? What are you, the largest competitive threats to your business that we need to overcome in the coming 2 years, right? Those are really challenging questions, and they require a lot of thought, and they require a lot of effort. And so I think it's just, it's a shame that more marketers are not taking that approach, but I think it changes everything when they do.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because as I just shared with you, I'm in the business of helping marketers do that. And I'm glad that you're already a convert on that front. So why don't I sort of hand it off to you in terms of, you know, how you approach this, because you have a slightly different way that you look at helping and supporting a business and things that you prioritize that perhaps many other marketers, particularly the ones that you've just been talking about, certainly don't.
Yeah. So our whole thing is, you know, that creativity really is the centerpiece of what can unleash massive growth. And the reason we say that is, you know, when you look at companies that are not focused on creativity, or let's say they're focused on best practices, and oftentimes what you find is that there's this sea of sameness, right, of agencies out there offering the same tactics, the same services, but very little in the way of differentiation. And our argument is, if you instead focus on creativity, it's really the only element of your business that cannot be commoditized. It's the only element of your business.
Yeah.
And it provides you with the greatest opportunity for competitive advantage. And so if you lean into your creativity and you really use it as a strategic advantage for your business, you can be unstoppable. There's no cap. There's no limit to what you can achieve. And there have been many studies done on this, and they all back this up. McKinsey did several years worth of studies on the power of creativity on marketing. And what they found was that those companies that were prioritizing creativity and integrating creativity in everything that they did grew at twice the rate of other companies. Tenevos ran a study, which was really interesting. They interviewed 3,500 or 3,600 CMOs, and it was unanimous in terms of the impact that creativity had on increasing revenue, increasing profits, and increasing lifetime value. So every single marketer out of thousands and thousands said that creativity helped them to increase all of those. And so from our standpoint, you know, you have to ask yourself, how much time are you spending focused on creativity? And when I ask marketing teams this, typically what I'll get is, well, you know, we talk about it, but, you know, we don't really do it. Like we talk about the importance of innovation, but then no one is actually spending the time innovating. And so what happens is marketers are busy, right? Everyone's busy. And so we get busy being busy, and then we don't have time to take a step back and really focus on creativity and innovation and lateral thinking. But my argument is you need to treat that as a really key part of your day, your week, your month, your quarter, and measure how much time you're spending on it.
All right. I want to dig into this word creativity, because I'm hearing you repeat the word and thinking about it in a lot of different ways, whether it's, you know, taking a creative approach to developing, you know, marketing, positioning, content, et cetera, or maybe it's producing things that are creative production, right? So I'm wonder if you can help define it and maybe dimensionalize it a little bit.
Sure. So I'm speaking more to the former, where it's more creative strategy, it's more creative approach. Now, the tangible deliverables that you have might be incredibly creative as well, but it all starts with your strategy and your approach. And I'll give you an example. So one of the services that we provide is account-based marketing, ABM. And so we target very specific accounts, right? It's the opposite of inbound marketing. We list our dream list of accounts that we want to go after, and then we create a plan to go after them repeatedly, consistently every month. And so for one of our ABM clients, you know, we did completely creative things, such as we created unique videos for each account. So there was a unique video. It could only be shown to one company. Mm-hmm. And it was 100% customized to that company. And we, you know, we did this for, I forget, it was maybe 100 different companies, right? And then what we did was we sent out a giant movie ticket to each person in the list. And so it was hundreds and hundreds of people getting these 4-foot by 3-foot movie tickets, gigantic, right? Mm-hmm. And so of course they're going to open it when it lands on their desk, right? I mean, it's bigger than their desk. And so then they open it, and on it is, you're invited to a special movie all about how your company can get more leads, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a custom URL on the movie ticket. They go to that custom URL, and it's a custom landing page branded for them, right?
Yep.
Welcoming them specifically and having their video that only is applicable and relevant to their business. And you have them watch that, and then there's a custom CTA attached to that. And so doing that provides tremendous value. It's also fully personalized for that particular business. And it's something that, you know, we've never heard of any business doing that specific approach. And so creative in that way as well, you know, it's differentiated, it's different. And so that's just one example of how you can be creative. We certainly don't mean you have to be silly. That's not what we mean by being creative. We mean, you know, being different, being strategic, doing what others are not, taking a different path, really thinking through how you're going to connect with your audience on a deeper level than all of the competition.
And what you just described is very different from what I think a lot of us in marketing complain about when it comes to creative production, that is the result of a lot of the typical Madison Avenue advertising world, where they're creating these really cool, you know, images for ads or television commercials that don't move the needle at all in terms of people buying more, but it wins the agencies a lot of awards because they've been super, you know, in air quotes, creative. But what you've described has a tangible, trackable result.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We're very focused on client results. If it's not going to lead to client results, we're not really interested in pursuing it. And I agree with you. I think a lot of what's going on in the mainstream marketing world is a lot of seeking of awards and looking for flashiness and, you know, even things that people might talk about, yet, you know, it doesn't necessarily tie to the bottom line.
Yeah.
So I'll give you another example of how we like to be creative. So this was actually something that I did with a colleague at the last agency that I was at. And keep in mind, we took that agency from 85 employees to over 700 employees in 5 years. So the creative approaches that we took really, really worked. So when I joined the company, one of the challenges that I saw with the marketing being done was A lot of it was directed towards very large conferences and trade shows where, you know, we would spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on one conference, right? Send a whole group of people to attend, and we would man the booth and we would talk to lots of people. There would be thousands of people there, which is great. But guess what happens at those conferences? They talk to you maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, but then they talk to all of your competitors for 2 or 3 minutes, right? So you're just in a sea of sameness. You're just one of 30 or 40 competitors. And we said, there's got to be a better way. There has to be a much better way. And we said, what if we did the opposite? That's where we started. We said, what if we do the opposite? And instead of just trying to get in front of as many people as possible, what if we tried to get in front of the right people? And instead of having 30 or 40 competitors right next to us, what if we had zero competitors? And instead of having a 2-minute conversation, what if we could have a 2-hour conversation? Mm. And so we said, okay, well, that would be amazing. How can we do it? And we said, well, you know, we're opening up a new office in Chicago. Why don't we use that as an opportunity to have our own event? So instead of attending someone else's event, we'll have our own event. And instead of just opening it up to the world and trying to get as many people to attend as possible, what if we try and get only those people who matter most? And so it's invitation only. And even if we only get 10 or 20 people, who cares? Perfect, right? And so with our first event, we literally only had 10 people who came out of that meeting. And you know, it was great because we got to talk to them for hours and hours. They hung out for about 3 hours and we had really deep dive conversations with them. No competitors in the room. We rented out a room at the House of Blues in Chicago. Great food, great alcohol. You know, everyone had a great time, you know. And at the end of the day, we signed a multi-million dollar contract and another contract with one of the attendees for 6 figures. Hmm. So we said, okay, that was great. That was awesome. Amazing ROI. So why don't we try it again? We did it again. And this time it was actually at, we didn't rent space. We were allowed to use space at Microsoft in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were in their office and we allowed Microsoft representatives to speak as well. And then we spoke and same thing, hours and hours of deep dive conversation. And we came out with another multi-million dollar contract. This became our number one leads driver at the company almost immediately and helped us go from 85 employees to over 700 in 5 years. So sometimes you just have to think, what if we do the opposite? It's very, very creative. It's a little scary, right? Sometimes people are going to shoot you down and say, that's a crazy idea. But sometimes if you test it, it just might work.
So I don't know if you picked up on this, but throughout that story, you used a 2-word phrase repeatedly. Any guesses what that 2-word phrase was?
I don't know.
Okay. But it harkens back to what you were talking about in terms of creativity and creative thinking, creative approach. It was, what if? You said it so many times. I kept hearing it and I'm thinking, well, that's a great way to guide somebody through the process of thinking differently, or to use the branding on your 2 books to rethink, right? To yes. Approach things from a different angle.
Absolutely. We love using that phrase. What if, why not? Why? Mm-hmm. We ask those questions all the time. And I would encourage, you know, everyone listening to start using those phrases all the time as well. Because at the other end of that, you can really discover some amazing ideas.
And the way that you described it, you're sort of thinking, all right, well, here are some challenges or some hurdles that we're dealing with in the current situation. What if these challenges were not in place? Right. And then you just kept adding to that. And then I sort of had a picture of where you were going to, you know, what you were going to address. And then you said, okay, let's create this new thing. And I thought, oh, that's a perfect. So how do you guide somebody through a process like what you've just described in terms of developing the, either it's the thinking habits or the creativity, you know, process, or how do you define how they go through all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're big believers in brainstorming and coming up with lots of ideas. We feel like if you have lots of ideas, some of those might be pure gold, right? Not all of them, but some of them. And so it's not a case where you can really come up with one idea and run with that. It's much better if you come up with 100 ideas and then you pick the one or the two or the five that are great. And so we have a process here where we brainstorm and then we list all the ideas that we want to consider in a left column in a Google sheet. And then we have different criteria that we measure the value of every idea. So we actually measure the value of every single idea we come up with. And we measure it on speed, how quickly can we implement it, the ease of implementing it, the cost of implementing it, the leads or the revenue that will come out of it, and the overall ROI. So the, you know, the revenue versus the cost, right? And we have a matrix that we use for that. And then we color code it. And it's either green or yellow or red, right? If it's for the ease column, you know, is it easy to implement? Yes, it's green. No, it's red. And kinda, it's yellow. And then we'll evaluate these ideas this way. And then it becomes relatively easy to pick winners because you can see what is critical for that particular initiative. Like, for instance, if you have an initiative where it's time bound, let's say you're getting ready for a webinar or a conference or something that, that is at a specific time, well, then speed is going to be an absolute must. That must be green. And if it's not green, it might be a great idea, but you cannot consider it. And then in other cases, it might be cost. You need to keep it within a certain budget. And so if it's above that budget, you just can't consider it this time. And so this matrix is really powerful in terms of guiding you towards amazing ideas for that particular situation.
I love that. And it reminded me of the Intel prioritization matrix that I've learned and I teach. But just having a way to take ideas and then apply them, you know, to some sort of formula or criteria or litmus test, that's a really valuable piece of advice you've just, you know, shared with the audience, because most don't, I imagine, right?
Most do not. Most do not. If you attend brainstorming sessions, typically, you know, they're all good, right? All brainstorming sessions are typically great. But then you just have this really, really long list of ideas. I have rarely ever seen an organization then apply this type of filtering process at the end of the brainstorming session, but it's invaluable. It changes everything.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about how a business can then apply this process internally when it's appropriate to say, oh, we need, you know, some professional help guiding us through this. Like I assume like we have in our marketing world, had businesses come to you and say, you know, you're not a good fit for us for A, B, and C reason, but let me give you some guidance. And others who are a good fit. How do you, sort of identify, that the right fit, the wrong fit, and what's the guidance that you might give somebody who may not be a good fit?
Yeah. That's a great question. So, we're very clear as to the clients that are a great fit. And so we're very honest with people who call up, people who email us, people who come through our website. We're very, very honest. And we try and dig deep very quickly to understand, okay, are you in this for the long haul? Or like, do you need leads this week? Like, is your hair on fire and like you need leads this week? We're not a good fit. We are very honest. We don't hire us to get you leads today or tomorrow or this week. If you have a broader vision, like 6 months, a year, then we're a great fit. And the reason is because we don't do any advertising. We do not pay to play. We are purely organic. And so we build it with our own hands. We earn the trust of the audience. That takes time. We can't do that in one afternoon. Mm-hmm. If we're building a website, if we're building landing pages, right? If we're conducting SEO, if we're writing blog posts or conducting research, all of that takes so much time. And so I think it's really important for everyone out there. If you're a marketer and you're let's say you're in an agency and you're seeking clients, I think you really need to know who is a perfect fit for you. It will save you a lot of time in identifying the good fits, but also it will save you a lot of grief from taking on clients who just are not the right fit. It's really bad for everyone involved if you take someone on who's just not aligned with your way of thinking and your approach to marketing.
So you've just brought back this original idea that we were starting with of the commoditization in the world. And what you described is definitely not a commodity compared to everything else that I see out there. As a business is shopping around, it's clear to me from what you've just described that there are types of questions that they're probably not asking, but ought to ask as they're either looking to hire an individual to help them or an agency to help them. What are the types of things that you would recommend they look at as they're shopping? Where do you think they need to be aware there's a trap or a pitfall? You know, what do they have to be listening for?
Right. So yeah, if you're a business and you're talking to different agencies and trying to evaluate them, a good question to ask is, what is your differentiation? How are you different from any other agency? If I talk to five or six or seven agencies, how are you going to be different from them? I think is just a core question to ask. Another is to see how much of the time they're talking versus how much of the time you're talking as the customer, as the potential customer. Because if they're talking 90% of the time, beware, beware, run away fast. You want people who are asking you questions. You want people who are digging to understand what your pain points are, what your problems are as a business, where is your marketing falling down today? Where are you frustrated today? If they're not asking you those questions, then they're not going to know how to solve your problems. And so they might talk a good game. They might have a bunch of employees and lots of offices. It doesn't matter. Make sure that they're focused on you personally, right? Make sure that they're asking you questions about your business and then coming up with solutions to your particular problems and challenges and pain points. And also, do they give you a vision as to how they're going to get you there? In an early conversation, sure, it might be very high level, but are they giving you a sense of any type of strategic thinking? Or is it just, we do SEO. Oh yeah, yeah, we do websites. Oh yeah, we do conversion optimization. You don't want an agency like that. It's just going to be bad news. You're going to waste a lot of money. They're going to talk a good game and you're going to waste a lot of money in the process. So what you want is someone who's strategic, someone who's differentiated, and someone who is listening most of the time too. You should be talking over 50% of the time. And if you're not, there's a problem.
I love that. One of the things that, we spend a lot of time with our agency and marketing clients on is helping them develop a needs assessment process, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
A lot of them will at the early part of the process, as we're teaching them this, come back and say, oh, well, I had this great conversation and I ended up selling them this service, this tactical service. And I'm like, then I think you didn't do it right because you jumped to the conclusion without, really understanding where they were. And so I think that's super important advice that you just shared, because the more that it's, about the prospective client and the less that it's about the agency, the better.
Yes, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
So let's talk briefly about your agency and what you guys specialize in. And then we'll want to make sure that for folks who are interested in hearing more from you, that they can sign up on your website to get your newsletter and all of the other goodies that you share. So tell us about StrataBeat.
Sure. So StrataBeat is a B2B organic growth agency. So we service business-to-business clients. And the services include everything from SEO to content development, content marketing, to conversion optimization, website design, account-based marketing, and behavioral intelligence. So all of that is organic. We do not pay to play, right? It's all stuff that we build. It's all stuff that it takes time, but it compounds over time. With advertising, you pay, and as soon as you stop paying, it goes to zero. With the type of marketing that we focus on, it lasts a very long time, and you get the benefit over a very long period of time. We do focus primarily in technology sectors. So whether it's software or hardware or green technology or biotech or medical technology, most of our clients are in the technology space. And our differentiation, which really, really differentiates us, is we have a very keen focus on neuroscience and behavioral science. So what we do is we apply brain science to marketing, which helps our clients to connect on a deeper level with their target audience, helps them to engage with them on a deeper level, helps them to guide them to the actions that matter most. So a lot of it is marketing to the subconscious, which is very powerful. Then if anyone wanted to get in touch, our website is stratabeat.com. And you can also get in touch with me personally at tomshapiro.com.
And I see on your personal website that there's an email sign up. What do you offer there?
Yeah, so it's all educational information. And so constantly providing insights and recommendations about anything from SEO to, you know, lead generation to, you know, how to grow your business organically, things like that. We also do talk about topics from the two books that I wrote. So my most recent book, Rethink Lead Generation, you know, a lot of ways to apply creativity to marketing to unleash growth. And so, you know, talk about topics like that as well.
Excellent. Well, this has been fascinating. You dropped a few things in there at the end that I want to revisit, and hopefully we'll find an opportunity to have you come back to continue a conversation about some of those as well. So in the meantime, Tom Shapiro, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much, David. It's been so much fun.
Indeed. Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Hope have a chance to see you back here again real soon. And if you enjoyed the episode or know somebody who could benefit from listening to it, please share it. In the meantime, we'll catch you at the next episode. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.